Amen. And I believe that the same grace is reaching out to you today. Amen. I didn't hear that. Amen. All right. There is nothing that you have done that the grace of God cannot reach you. Amen.
Amen.
And the same righteous hand that reached out to me, that pulled me out of where I was and saved me and set me on the right path to glorify his holy name, is reaching out to you today. Amen.
Amen.
So reach out. Let God pull you out of where you are and let him do amazing things in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I bring greetings from you from Pastor Gideon. He did say last week that he would be speaking in Corinth today. He's actually in Corinth. And I believe if he's not speaking, he's probably just finishing. And I pray God's anointing upon him that he'll bring a rhema word to the people there. And that revelation, he'll come with revelation from God's throne room. Amen?
Amen.
Right, it is a privilege to bring the word of God to you this morning. And it is my prayer that you will encounter God today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've been reading Apostle Maldonado's book called Divine Encounter. And this is how he explains a spiritual encounter. He says, every supernatural encounter with God includes a change, empowerment, and impact. It involves a manifestation, whether visible or invisible, in which God introduces himself to us in such a way that our heart is radically transformed and we are empowered to impact our generations. And quick examples of people who had encounters with God and their lives were changed. You know Abraham. He had an audible voice from God. His life was changed forever and he impacted his generation. We know of Jacob. God spoke to him through a dream. He impacted his generation. We know of Joseph through two dreams. His life changed. He changed his generation. Moses had an encounter at the burning bush. He encountered God at the burning bush. His life changed, and he changed his generation. Now, we know of Paul in the New Testament. He heard an audible voice from Jesus on the road to Damascus. His life changed. He impacted his generation. Amen? So if I'm saying that I pray that you will encounter God today, what I'm saying is I'm praying, or rather I decree that today your heart will be radically transformed, that you will be empowered to impact your generation. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, today I'm going to speak from Ephesians chapter 6, from verses 10 to 8. And the theme for the message is put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of God. This is a familiar passage if you've been going to church for quite a while, but I believe God is going to bring revelation to us today. Amen?
Amen.
Before I go any further, just to say that I just want to make a declaration that just in case you've not been coming here for a long time, I need you to understand that we believe the Bible to be the inspired living word of God,
Amen.
Infallible and unchanging from Genesis to Revelation. Amen?
Amen?
So what I'm going to speak from is from the Bible. If you find it challenging, ask God to grant you revelation, but don't discount it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, for those who were the inner healing and deliverance in April, you will remember that there was one topic that I rushed through because we had simply run out of time, and that is called 10 keys to keeping your deliverance. I'm not going to give you all the 10 keys, but I'm only picking one passage. That is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. There were loads of passages if you were there. Loads and loads and loads. I'm picking just one. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. And before I go any further, I just want to, one, honor Pastor for giving me the chance to speak here today. And also to thank, you may not know him, Apostle Maldonado. Pastor and I went to Miami this year to study there for 2 weeks at the university. It is University of the Supernatural Ministry. And we studied there for two intensive, when I say it is intensive, I mean intensive weeks. And through that, we were trained to operate, or we were equipped to operate in the supernatural. And as we were going, they said to the class of 30, you have been equipped, now go and use it. Amen? And that is what we're using, and we're equipping you as a church. Amen? So I pray that God will bless Apostle and his ministry, that they'll continue to impact many churches out there. Amen?
Amen.
Now I'm going to ask Monica to please read from the Amplified Version. I chose the Amplified Version because it simplifies it for you, and then I'll break it down for you. Monica, please.
Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from him and be empowered through your union with him. and in the power of his boundless might. Put on the full armor of God, for his precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God, so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, and having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. So stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, personal integrity, moral courage around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, an upright heart, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion and in every season, in the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. Amen.
And thank you, Monica. Amen. So we're going to unpack it. I mean, the Amplified version is simple enough to understand initially what it means, but let me just take it up to another level. Amen. So the words "put on" indicates the decision or the determination to do something. All right. "Put on" means you have a part to play. All right. Now, every single person sitting here, I thank God, is fully dressed. Right. Now, I don't suppose when you woke up this morning, the clothing you have on just jumped out of the wardrobe onto your skin, did it? Some of you decided the day before, last night, what you were going to wear, and some of us had to change this morning because the weather was not nice to us. But whatever it is, you had a part in it, and you put on the clothes, didn't you? Yes. It is the same with the spiritual armor. It says you need to put on the spiritual armor. So it is just more than the empty repetition of the passage. It has to do with having the firm conviction of what we are confessing. Yeah? If you want the armor to be effective in our lives, we must stand firm. Okay? Stand firm. This implies that we must have an aggressive attitude towards the enemy and attack without reservation. Let me repeat that. Stand firm means we must have an aggressive attitude against the enemy and attack without reservations. We must be on the offensive. All right? The word of God says that from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and what? The violent take it by force. You go and take what is yours. You don't allow the enemy to have it. That is standing firm. Two, resist. This involves having the right attitude when guarding a territory and rejecting every temptation to abandon it. If we have a passive attitude, the enemy will push and make us retreat. So you cannot have a passive attitude. If this happens, we will lose what we have gained, and that which has already belonged to us. And therefore, that's why the Bible says that we must submit to God, resist the devil, and he will do what? He will flee from you. Amen? Amen. So you must resist. That's James chapter 4, verse 7. You must resist. So we need to put on the armor of God so that we can successfully stand against all the strategies and the deceits and tricks of the enemy. I got us to read from the Amplified Version because that is how it explains it. In other versions, it will say against the wiles of the enemy. Sometimes you read it and it just doesn't make sense to you. But the Amplified Version says, we need to put on the armor of God so that we can successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits and the tricks of the devil. Amen? If someone is tricking and deceiving you, it is not clear for you to see unless you are spiritually discerning. Amen?
Yes.
And God has given you an armor so that you can see what the enemy is doing. Let's read Ephesians 6. I'll just read it from the Living Bible. I'm going to read verse 12. Ephesians 6:12 in the Living Bible. It says, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against the huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. Sometimes the moment we start talking about the devil, demons, evil spirits, people shut their brain, their minds off, they go to sleep and they say it does not exist. But I said to you that we believe in the Bible. Did I not? And I believe you believe in the Bible as well, if you are a believer. So if you do, this is from the Bible, and the Bible is for correcting, for rebuking, for teaching, and this is a teaching moment, all right? And so our battle is not just against flesh and blood, it is against the persons without bodies. So how do you fight persons without bodies? You cannot do so in the natural realm. But you can be victorious in the supernatural realm when you put on the armor that God has given you. Because Jesus disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them through the cross. Amen?
Yes.
What that means is, when Jesus went to the cross, see, in the days, I wasn't there, but I've read it. In the days when people conquered nations, The kings and the commanders and what have you were chained up, and those who had conquered them sat in chariots, and those who had been captured were in chains walking behind the chariots for everybody to see that these people are now captives. All right? And they did it publicly for everyone to see. When Jesus rose from the dead, what he did was he paraded the enemy. Right? In the street, and he said, this is a defeated foe, you lot. This is a defeated foe. I have taken the authority from his hands. I have taken the power from his hands. I have given it to you, Christians. Now use it, because he cannot harm you anymore if you will put on the armor of God.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. That is what it means. And therefore, we need to be in that place where we don't hand over the authority and power that Jesus took from the enemy, because Adam is the one who handed the authority to him in the Garden of Eden, and at the cross, Jesus took it from him and gave it to you and I. He says, now, take it and work with it. Amen?
Amen.
We read this casually in Matthew chapter 28. We read it so casually. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? Authority to do what? To cast out demons. To heal the sick. To lay hands on the lame so that they will walk. That is what the authority is for. So if you are a believer and you are not taking hold of the authority that God has given you, then you are wasting the work that God did on the cross. God has already given us the victory. We just need to step into it and take it from the devil's hands. The same way God gave the children of Israel the land. He gave them the promised land. All they had to do was to go in there, fight those who were there, dispose them, and take the land. The enemy is occupying your territory, your home, your marriage, your children, your spouse, your workplace. You have to dispose the enemy and rule in that place. That is your that's the authority you have.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Don't allow yourself to be a football in the devil's hands. You need to kick him out of your life.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now we have the true meaning of the words put on. Let us see in detail each part of the armor in order to understand how to successfully stand up against all the strategies, deceits, and tricks of the devil. So verse 14 says, gird your waist with truth. This will be from New King James Version, I'm taking it. Gird your waist with truth, or stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The word gird means to encircle or secure with a belt or a band. I'm sure most of you use belts when you put on maybe trousers, just to hold it up. I won't go any further, right? In ancient Rome, the gladiators girded the waist with a tight girdle to gain the strength required to resist enemy during a battle. Likewise, we should gird ourselves with the truth of God's word, symbolically surrounding our body, tightly hold on to his word to resist the devil's tricks. We need to resist the devil's attacks. If we fail to gird ourselves with the truth, we will be too weak to resist the enemy and will easily fall prey to false doctrines. If we fail to gird ourselves with the truth, we will be too weak to resist the enemy and will easily fall prey to false doctrines or be gravely affected by our own lies. In this ongoing war, the enemy will use anything to gain the upper hand and make you lose. That's why during inner deliverance, we give you the 10 keys so that you know how to keep your deliverance. Remember, this is from part of the message, as I said, of keeping your deliverance. So you need to gird yourself with the truth. Symbolically, surround your body tightly with the word of God and resist the devil's attacks, and he will flee. If you don't know the word of God, then you are a football in the enemy's hands. The breastplate of righteousness. All right, that's in verse 14. You find that in verse 14. It says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. When the apostle Paul mentioned the word righteousness, he was referring to being justified before God by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, when we put on the breastplate of righteousness, it is symbolic of going before the presence of God as his children, not as condemned by the devil. I need you to hear that. When you go before God, because of what Jesus did on the cross, you go before God as a child of God, not as one condemned by the devil. Amen? Amen. One thing I do every day, I invoke the blood of Jesus over me before I pray. I fill my house with the blood of Jesus. I fill every room with the blood of Jesus. And I invoke the blood of Jesus over me as a daughter of God, because that's what I am. I invoke the blood of Jesus over me as an intercessor. And I invoke the blood of Jesus over me as a priest. All these three the enemy cannot stand against. And then I proceed to pray. I know who I am in Christ. You need to know who you are in Christ so that the enemy cannot come and mess about with you. Amen? If you are deeply rooted in Christ, you will know your identity in him. And then you will understand how much you are worth and where you are going. This will keep the enemy from gaining the upper hand against you by trying to offend you or blind you to your true identity. And then he will not be able to enslave you, because his whole idea is to take you back to captivity where you once was or where you once were. But then when you know who you are in Christ, he is not able to do that. Amen? Yes. You need to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. That's verse 15. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is the resolve and the speed that God gives to those who believe in him and who carry his word through the nations. Nations doesn't mean you have to move from here to go to Greece, like Pastor Gideon is in Greece. No. Nations, the people you know, the different people you know in your circle of influence, that is the nations that it is referring to. It also means to be willing and prepared to live according to his word, to have a good testimony, to be ready to obey God. Preparation also represents our firm walk in the Lord, which destroys any obstacles that stand in our way. Because when you walk in obedience with God, when the enemy comes in, God says, not this one, take your hands off. Not this one, take your hands off. So you need to learn to walk in obedience so that you will have the covering of God upon your life. He will still come attack. Look at Job. The enemy came to attack him, and God said, you can take everything he has, but don't touch his life. God is on your side when you walk in obedience. But when you walk in disobedience, he removes his covering from you. All right? We see that in the Old Testament, how the children of Israel walked in disobedience, and they were sent into captivity because of what? Their disobedience. Not that God was not strong enough to protect them, but he removed his covering because of disobedience. Adam was sent away from the Garden of Eden because of what? Disobedience. So if we want God's covering upon our lives, we need to walk in obedience. Amen?
Amen.
Now verse 16, the shield of faith. The shield of faith, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. I remember years back, even before I became a serious Christian, I was one of those Christians who slept in church. A lot, yeah, I know. Bad, isn't it? I don't know why, but for some reason, the enemy told me that sleeping in church was so sweet, so I just did it. So don't do it if you're doing it today. But I remember I had a dream during those times, and the dream was I was walking somewhere, and someone was throwing arrows at me. And I had a shield. It wasn't even a big one. It was a small one, and I was holding it in my face. So what I did I was walking backwards so that the shield was taking the arrows. And I walked all the way back to where I was going. The person followed me in the room, but it wasn't touching me. The arrows were not touching me. I was still holding the shield, and the shield was protecting me. Amen?
Amen.
Even during those sleepy days of mine, God was watching over my life. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield stops the fiery darts of the enemy that comes against us. Amen? The darts can come in the form of bad thoughts, all right? Capable of producing oppression and obsession. The darts can come in the form of bad thoughts, capable of producing oppression and obsession. Remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So consequently, hearing the word of God, speaking it, releasing it, all right, will protect us from falling prey once more to the enemy's attack. So you need to read the Bible daily. Not just read it and know it, read it and apply it to your life. Because sometimes we read the Bible, we know it, and then we walk out of the door, we do something totally different. We have no covering in that. Now the helmet of salvation, you need to put on the helmet of salvation, all right? The helmet of salvation protects us from losing the conviction we have of our salvation. The helmet of salvation convicts us of our salvation, and it guards our minds from being contaminated by bad thoughts. So you need the helmet of salvation. Now let me say this. You need to keep your thoughts out of the devil's hands and safeguard your mind. You need to keep your thoughts out of the devil's hands and safeguard your mind, because one of the enemy's favorite tricks is conquering your mind by the words that come out of your mouth. He has a demon assigned to every single word that comes out of your mouth. And the demon follows that word to make sure that it comes to pass in your life. So if it is negative words that you are speaking over your life, over your job, over your home, over your finances, there is a demon assigned to that word for that to come to pass. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. You want to eat the fruit? Speak positive things over your life. How did God bring creation? He spoke it into being. Didn't he?
Yes.
And then he gave us the same power to speak things into being. So what are you speaking into being? Is it positive over your life or is it negative over your life? When children annoy you, be careful of the words you speak over them. Be very, very careful of the words you speak over them, because it will follow them unless God gives you the wisdom to break that. Amen? When teachers speak negative things over your children, they come and tell you at home, break that. Or follow the child to the school and speak to the teacher. I did it many times. They stopped messing with me. Amen? I'm not saying that let your child do what is wrong and support them. But when it is words that will affect them, when you live in a minority community and words are coming to your child that will affect them, take a stand and speak in your child's life. That is your responsibility. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So watch what comes out of your mouth. To safeguard our Christian walk, we need not only renew our minds, but as the Bible speaks about, but we also need to renew the words and our speech. As I've said, one thing that you must do is to get rid of fear, doubt, and unbelief. Get rid of fear, doubt, and unbelief. It has no part in your life as a believer. These will hinder you in your walk with God. All right? Doubt, fear, unbelief will hinder you in your work with God. In your walk with God. The Word of God has principles. And Jesus established belief as a principle. All right? It says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen. Whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Bill Johnson, in his book, The Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind, I recommend this to you. If you want your mind transformed, The Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind by Bill Johnson, he says the battle is in the mind. The battle is in the mind. The mind is the essential tool in bringing the kingdom reality to the problems and crises people face. God has made it the gatekeeper of the supernatural. God has made the mind the gatekeeper of the supernatural. To be of any use to the kingdom, our minds must be transformed. Every thought and action in your life speaks of allegiance to God or Satan. That's a fact. Every thought and action in your life speaks of allegiance to God or to Satan. Both are empowered by your agreement. So renewing your mind means learning to recognize what comes from hell and what comes from heaven and agreeing with heaven so that you'll be able to complete your divine assignment. You need to agree with what is coming from heaven. Amen? The mind is the gatekeeper of God. It is the place of access, transition, and power. It follows that the gates of hell are set up in our minds. Listen to what Jesus said to Peter. Matthew chapter 16, 18. He said, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, shall not prevail against it. Gates? Who are the gates? The gates are in your mind. The gates of hell, this is where the devil sits in power. He sits in people's minds. So we are worshiping and we are saying the power of God is here to heal. You're going, nah, I don't believe it. That gate there is blocking the King of Glory from coming in to do his work in your life. For the weapons, listen to this. Just to let you know that the gate is the mind. I told you, we read from the Bible, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Where do thoughts take place? Where does thinking take place? It is in the mind. And therefore, your mind is the gatekeeper of God. You need to renew your mind and open up the gates and let the King of glory come in. Psalms 27:4 says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. How is the King of glory going to come in? Is he going to burst through those doors to come in? No, he is coming through you allowing him in your mind so that he will come into your life and do mighty things. What happens when the King of glory comes into your life? Mountains, we sang the song earlier. Mountains crumble. Mountains shake. The enemy scatters. The enemies run when you allow God to come into your life. And so if you are sitting there and we are saying that the power of God is here to heal, the power of God is here to save, the power of God is here to restore your relationship, the power of God is here to restore your children, and you are sitting there going, nah, what are you doing? The enemy is playing football with you. Because you are preventing God from coming, because God isn't going to kick you to come in. He says, let me read it again. He says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. You need to do something. So if you come to church and you hear everything and block your mind and don't let God come in, you go home the same way you came in. But refuse that to be the norm in this place. Yes. That you will come and you have an encounter with God. Amen. That your life will be empowered, you'll be impacted, and you go and change your generation. Amen. The King of glory is waiting to show up in your life today. He is waiting to come in. He is waiting to fight your battles. He wants to fight your emotional battles. He wants to fight your physical battles. He wants to fight your marriage battles. He wants to fight your financial battles. He wants to fight your work battles. He wants to fight your children's battles. He wants to fight all the battles in your life. But you need to let him come in. You need to let the King of glory in. Because the Lord is strong and mighty. The Lord is mighty in battle. We sang that song earlier. Because when you allow the Lord to come in, he wins your battles. He wins your battle. He never loses. I've never read anywhere in the Bible that God actually lost a battle. What happens is when God comes and he fights, the enemies scatter. Amen. The enemies scatter. And therefore, you need to allow God to come in so that the enemy will scatter and your life will be glorious in the hands of God. Amen. Amen. So allow God in here. The mind. You need to renew your mind. That is what you need to do today. And I pray that today your minds will be renewed before you go home. Even if you came in with a renewed mind, you go home with a much more renewed mind so that you can do exploits in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The sword is the word of God. It is an offensive weapon against the enemy's attacks. Let me say that again. The sword is the word of God. It is an offensive weapon against the enemy's attacks. And it must be used under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why we spend so much time praying at the beginning of the service? And we worship for so long? We invite the Holy Spirit in. Because we want him to lead the way. We don't lead the way. He leads the way. Because when he comes and he leads the way, oh boy, does the enemy run. He runs. That is why we do that. That is why during in the a vision pathway, we set time aside for spirit supernatural encounter because we want people to encounter God. Because when you encounter God, your life will change forever. Amen? 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 Amen. When the enemy decides to attack by using temptation, we should respond as Jesus did when he was tempted. He used the words, it is written. It is written. This is why we are encouraging the church to get on board the vision of the house and be discipled and equipped through teaching. You must know the word of God and its application to be able to say, it is written when you are tempted. If you haven't as yet been tempted, trust me, you will be. The enemy isn't going to tell you, by the way, say Mary is your name. By the way, Mary, on Tuesday, the 17th of July, around 10 o'clock, I'm going to tempt you. I wish he did that so that we'll all be prepared. He never does. He's deceitful. He is cunning. He comes in unawares. So you never know when he's coming to tempt you. So you need to be on your guard. You need to know the word of God. The discipleship pathway starts with a new life, a new beginning. This is the foundation stage. However, although it is a foundation stage, we are saying all in the church needs to go through it. Even if you've been a Christian for 100 years, you need to go through it. because no one built a house. We have all come from different streams of religion, different beliefs, and we have come here, but this is a vision pathway of the church. We said everybody needs to go through it. And I'm saying that a new life, a new beginning is the foundation stage. After that, you need to continue. I don't know anyone who sets about to build a house and lays the foundation and stops there and then goes to spend a lot of money on furniture and put in the posh bathroom, put in the posh kitchen, the city, the Lord, and sit on the foundation with no walls, no roofs, no doors, nothing, no protection. Who would do that in here? So if we are saying a new life, a new beginning, that's the foundation. The supernatural encounter is the foundation. The inner healing and deliverance is foundation. You don't get there and stop thinking, I am done. You are sitting on a foundation with no roof, with no windows, with no doors, and you've bought your furniture and you are sitting in it. You need to continue with the vision pathway because we want to empower you to be able to stand up to the enemy and say, it is written. It is written, and he will flee from you. Amen? Amen? Some people have it in their minds that they're too busy, and so they can't do the vision pathway, or they have many, what was the phrase people would use? Oh, their lives are full, yeah. So they cannot do it. Let me tell you something. We are not inviting you on the vision pathway because we don't think you have anything doing. We're inviting you on in spite of what you are doing. Yeah? See, when God said, who will go and save this generation? Jesus said, I will go. And then when he said, I will go, do you know what he did? He laid aside his majesty. He sacrificed something to come and die on the cross for you and I. And therefore, if you want to do this vision pathway, you need to sacrifice something so that we will train you, equip you for free, so that you not be a football in the hands of the enemy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Sacrifice hurts. If at the moment in your Christian life nothing hurts, you ain't sacrificing nothing. Pastor Ben gave a prophecy in this house on the 16th of June. And he said, in this house, you will feel the ouch of sacrifice. He said, in this house, you will feel the ouch of sacrifice. Some of us are feeling the ouch of sacrifice. But it is working. Amen. It is working. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. People are laughing. It's working. It's working. So we said a new life, a new beginning. It's for everyone in this church. You heard Ali say it last week, from the age of 13, and the oldest one who did it is the age of 85. I'm looking for someone, 83. I'm looking for someone to top that. Yeah? I'm looking for someone to be a Caleb in the house. Well, Caleb was 80, was he, when he took the land? He said, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. It is for everyone. Seriously, sign up for a new life, a new beginning. That is where we're going. We'd love to take you with us. We don't want to leave anyone behind. But if you not come along, we are going. Amen? Amen? Yes. Amen. Amen. And verse 18, let me move on. Verse 18, it says, praying always. No, before I go there, let me say this. Let me go back just one step. Why are we equipping the church? Because we want to take hold of the sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon against the enemy's attack, so that we will stand. I think it's important for me to say that. We are equipping you, all right? We are teaching you so that you'll be able to use the offensive weapon against the enemy's attack, so that you will stand. Remember, I'm not standing, you will stand. All right? Now we can go to verse 18, where it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This means praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Some people have a problem with praying in tongues, but I believe you stick around long enough to hear the teaching on tongues so that you will be released to pray in tongues. Because it was Jesus before he ascended to heaven, he gave commands. Read this, I'll give you the passage and you can read it. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 18. Mark 16, 15 to 18. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, one of the commands that he gave his disciples, he said, those who believe or those who have believed will speak with new what? Tongues. And what is new tongues? It's not a Ghanaian language. It's not a Nigerian language. It's not Urdu. It is tongues. Meaning, he wants us to use the tongues. If it was not necessary, Jesus would not have commanded. Remember, it was a command. It wasn't a suggestion, was it? It was a command. So if Jesus commands us to use that gift, then there must be a reason why we need to use it. Because speaking in tongues, but let me repeat what I said the last time. Speaking in tongues edifies you to improve intellectually. It also edify also means to expand your capacity to receive. So when you are speaking in tongues, you are preparing yourself to receive during the preach so that you don't do what I used to do years ago and drop off to sleep. Speaking in tongues also releases angelic activity. It releases angelic activity. And therefore, as we pray, what happens is angels are taking our prayers to God. That's in Revelation. And then they break answers down. They take our prayers up, they bring answers down. But we need to release angelic activity. So if you're not speaking in tongues, you are depriving yourself. Remember, Jesus is the one who said we should speak in tongues. So if you don't want to speak in tongues and you're a believer, then maybe you follow a different Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Just praying always with all prayer and supplication. That is why we have prayer services in the church. And we want to invite you to it. It is not only for a select few, it is for everyone. Once a month, we invite you to come. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Some people say, I don't know how to pray, that's why I don't come. I say, hang on. Where I come from, or where I was born, I didn't see parents take their baby swimming. The first time I saw it, I thought the parents were trying to drown the babies. I thought, what on earth are these people doing? And then I got to understand, no, when you start them young, they learn quickly. They learn quicker, and they become really good at swimming. Am I right? Yeah. So if you don't know how to pray, see yourself as a baby whose parent is taking them to the swimming pool and teaching them how to swim. You will not drown in prayer, trust me. Because if the parents till now haven't drowned babies, but rather the babies become excellent swimmers, and then if you're a new believer and you start learning how to pray right from word go, what will you become? Pardon? Excellent in prayer. You need to be a prayer warrior. We've learned through pastors preaching on exercising spiritual authority. You need to be a warrior. You need to learn how to pray. So if you don't know how to pray, come, we will teach you, and then you pray at home. You need to have authority in your home. Have authority over your life. Have authority over every situation that you are going through. Amen? Amen. That is Friday. This Friday at 7:30, don't miss out. Because there's some battles you need to conquer in your life. There are some battles that you need to conquer in your life. We are going to pray. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. We have heard the word. We are going to prepare to put on the armor of God. We are going to prepare to put on the armor of God. Because we want to be able to stand against the deceit, against the schemes, against the strategies of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please stand. Please stand to your feet. I'm going to pray, and then you will follow with the prayer. Mean it with all your heart. Mean it with your body. Mean it with your soul. Some of the words you may think, it doesn't apply to me, but you don't know the generations down your line who may have been involved in something. So I'm praying to release you. All right? So pray it with power. Pray it with energy.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You're going to declare this out loud. Are you ready?
Yes.
Today,
no weapon,
formed against me
shall prosper.
every demonic tongue that speaks against my life, let it be condemned now in the name of Jesus. By the power in the name of Jesus Christ, I quench every satanic fiery dart turned against me. Amen. 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 We haven't finished. We're going to continue praying. You need to give it volume. When you are praying in your house, you need to give it volume, because the enemy needs to know that you are in control. You are not afraid. Amen. You are not afraid. Are you ready? Are you ready for the next one? This prayer is going to release your mind. Are you ready? It says, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to God, and that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I give up all my rebellion and all my sins before you. I ask for your forgiveness, especially for any sins that expose me to any curse. Release me also from the consequences of my ancestors' sins. As a decision of my will, I forgive all who have hurt me, harmed me, and betrayed me. Just as I want God to forgive me, I forgive them. I renounce all contracts known and unknown, or any occult or satanic agreements. If I have had any contact with occult objects, I commit myself to destroy them. I cancel all of Satan's plans against me, Lord. Jesus, I believe that on the cross you took on yourself every curse that could ever have come upon me. So I ask you now to set me free from every curse over my life in your name. Jesus Christ, by faith, I now receive my freedom, and I thank you for it. Hallelujah. Give God a clap offering. Hallelujah.